With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The New World Report. I welcome Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society, and Ernesto Araújo, former Foreign Minister of the Republic of Brazil. On the eve of the American election, the United States of America election, all of the Americas are watching. The New World is watching very closely because of longstanding relationships between Washington and all the capitals of Latin America. Troubled capitals and serene capitals. Joseph, I begin with my puzzle for your work, which has been devoted to the narco-terror threat, to the threat from overseas bad actors in the Latin America. What, at this point, would you say is the capital watching most closely of Washington, or capitals watching for the results? A Harris administration in 25, or a Trump administration in 25. Good evening to you, Joseph.
Good evening, John. So I would say the way the region is today, I would say that Latin America is more distant from the United States than they were under President Trump. When President Trump was in office for those 4 years, the region was about two-thirds favorably aligned with the United States. A lot of countries that wanted to do not just business with the United States, but wanted to do defense cooperation. They wanted to have a strategic relationship with America. Now, I would say it's at least one-third of the region is fervently anti-American, and that's like the hardcore authoritarian states, the Cubas, Venezuelas, Nicaraguas, Bolivia's, and then the list is actually growing now with Honduras, Colombia, and others. And then there's about a third of the region that's distancing themselves. And then there's a third of the region that just doesn't know what the United States is looking to do. They want to do good business with the United States. They want to do a strategic relationship, but they don't understand the policies or the direction of the Biden-Harris administration. So I think that's where we're at today. And to your question, John, I'd say the number one country that would want to see a Kamala Harris victory, want to see kind of a continuation of the Biden-Harris policies, would be probably Venezuela, Caracas. And the reason is, under the Biden administration, Venezuela has been able to return out of the trenches of being delegitimized throughout the entire Latin America and the Caribbean. The maximum pressure campaign of the Trump administration, if it had one real effect, was it that it delegitimized the Maduro regime to the point that they were taken out of regional forums, they were ostracized from regional political organizations and multilateral groups, and their economy was pretty isolated, and people didn't want to really trade with them. In the last 4 years, they've been able to rebuild some of that. Now, Maria Corina, I think, did a good job at taking a little bit away from them, but they would really want to kind of rebuild from where that was at. And then the top country that is looking for President Trump to become in return to the White House, I think that's an obvious one. That would be Buenos Aires. That would be Argentina. I think President Milei has signaled very clearly which side of the geopolitical spectrum he wants to align with, which is the West, which is the U.S. And I think that he understands, well, he has, a cordial relationship with the United States. He considers the United States, regardless of the administration, his top partner. But obviously that partnership grows tremendously if President Trump's able to win back the White House. And my understanding is President Milei will probably perhaps be one of his top partners in Latin America.
Ernesto, a very good evening to you. What is your measure of who's watching the election closely, both for and against either possibility?
Good evening, John. So I would say Brazil and Mexico would be watching very closely. Mexico, of course, because of the density of the relationship and the migration issue, and also because of the clear transit of Mexico towards a different approach in world affairs, an approach much more distant from the United States and from the West. Of course, Trump would put much more pressure, not only on the concrete immigration issue, but also on the overall attitude of Mexico towards the, let's say, the Western alliance. And Brazil, two reasons, domestic policy and international policy. So domestically, the right, the conservative camp in Brazil is very weak, very dispirited. The recent local elections were a big victory for the big center of the political spectrum, which is basically the part of the corrupt system that now rules Brazil. A Trump victory could mean some sort of encouragement for the right, for Bolsonaro himself, because of the comeback effect. Bolsonaro aims at the same sort of comeback that Trump had. So 4 years, then 4 years in the middle, and come back in 2026, which today is not possible, but he is betting on his ineligibility being revoked. So and internationally, Brazil has had a almost a free hand under Lula to build or rebuild or strengthen alliances with the, let's say, narco-socialist regimes like Venezuela, Bolivia, and others in the region, and also a free hand to become clearly a part of the totalitarian bloc comprising China, Russia, Iran, and letting those countries and their projects run wild, let's say, in the country and in Latin America, as far as Brazil can contribute to that, and that's very far. So, of course, the consequences would depend on the attitude of a possible Trump administration. But I think the feeling is that Biden, the Biden administration, didn't care about this deepening of the narco-socialist alliance and the totalitarian alliance from the point of view of Brazil and other countries in the region. So and Trump would be different. So Brazil would probably become more timid in this effort of being part of the totalitarian bloc, and the conservative camp would have some hopes of returning to power.
Joseph, quickly, Havana is in very bad shape. The electricity, the food, the water, everything is upside down. Harris administration or Trump administration, would there be a difference in approach to Cuba, knowing that that's the entry port for the bad actors from Eurasia?
Well, I mean, see, you know what's interesting, John, that the Biden administration has been very sympathetic to Cuba, right? They've been trying to get them off the state-sponsored terror list. They've gotten resistance on that, so they haven't been able to do it. But if you remember early when the Biden administration first started, there was mass protests inside Cuba, and they weren't able to really give the support needed to make that meaningful. And even in that conditions, even though the Biden Harris administration has not pressured the regime in Havana, has not done enough to really try to isolate the regime more from the international community, even within that, the country's collapsing. So I think that the Cuba situation kind of transcends politics at this point. It's pretty much a failed state. It's near other failed states such as Haiti, without the level of crime and violence, but with just the same level of suffering, if not worse. And so I think that, what the Cubans would want to see is they would want to see a effort by the United States to basically play offense in Latin America. And that includes what I was talking about earlier with Venezuela, the maximum pressure campaign on Venezuela, because Trump's maximum pressure campaign on Venezuela wasn't just Venezuela. It was extended to what they called at that point the axis of tyranny, or was the axis of tyranny, which was essentially Cuba, Nicaragua, along with Venezuela. And I think you could see that return because those countries haven't changed. They're still autocratic. They're still totalitarian. They're still imprisoning political prisoners. But you probably see some other countries that may be added to that list, particularly like, for example, Brazil under Lula da Silva, got into one of the most fervent attacks on free speech that I've ever seen in Latin America, got into a direct conflict with Elon Musk. And Elon Musk is obviously very close to President Trump. So if you were to see President Trump win, I think you're going to see is a Latin America that becomes much more defensive against the U.S. because they've been working against the U.S. But many other countries start to align with the United States to take the region back under democratic control.
Speaking with Joseph Humeyer, Executive Director of Secure Free Society, and Ernesto Araújo, former Foreign Minister of the Republic of Brazil. When we come back, right to Ernesto, because there's an alarming report about the president of Brazil taking a fall and not doing well, but it's difficult to judge. So we need to learn about the protocols in Brazil in the event that Lula da Silva must momentarily step aside from his office. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batten.